Pipe Dreams of the Book-Laden Orphanage. An energetic, robust customer bounds through the door of Reed Books. He is lugging a large box filled to the brim with pipes. "Here are some more things from the house," he pronounces. Then he hands the load over to me and rushes out the door while I search for a place to situate the box. "Here's the last of our stuff," he announces as he returns and unloads two large plastic containers of old books. He needs to retrieve the containers in order to haul future troves. It's like Christmas Day every day at the shop. Folks bring large trash bags of paperbacks, rickety wooden boxes filled with attic leftovers, linen-wrapped fragiles from another century, suitcases of old documents and memorabilia, purses packed with formerly loved treasures, books upon books. It is a mistake to dismiss even the worst-looking arrival without first peering within, combing for the kinds of saleable, collectible in items that keep the store running. There's almost always something unique hidden among the gewgaws and doodads and thingamajigs and artifacts and disposables that are presented to me. Even the worst-looking or worthless-seeming items have stories to tell. I feel like a fortune-teller or seer as I explain the source of or meaning of each societal leftover. So why do I accept today's gift of a large box filled with smoking pipes? After all, this is a bookstore. Why pipes? Well, at one time in this bookie world, pipes and tobacco and humidors and clippers and scrapers and cleaners and flexible stems and ashtrays and cigar boxes and humidifiers and smoking jackets were part of the setting in which books were read, collected, enjoyed, catalogued, referenced, displayed, meditated upon. Today, lots of other accumulatables decorate rooms where books are cherished, replacing the now politically incorrect smoking paraphernalia. Books are not read in a vacuum. They are enjoyed while the reader surrounds them with a favorite reading chair, a blankie, a snack, a cherished pet, photographs of family and friends, a cup of java, a music reproduction device lurking nearby or sticking into ear. The surroundings are part of the literary experience, unless you tend to read while suspended in darkest, starless space. As I walk the aisles of century-laden books, my memory of each title encompasses everything that was going on while I was reading. When I touch a copy of Antic Hay by Aldous Huxley, I can almost smell the unmown grass surrounding me on the lawn of my childhood home, as I once lay a blanket, reading in the shade. I can feel my too tight tennis shoes making editorial comments about the characters in the book whose shoes always fit correctly. I can sense the impending visit from a neighborhood playmate. I can conscript a bit of clover to use as bookmark. I can see the gaunt face of Huxley on the back cover. I can retrieve this visceral memory years later when I actually meet him at a lecture. Each book in the big world has equal status in my tiny world. Each is conceived, edited, submitted, argued over, politicked, rewritten, slicked up, dumbed down, smartened up, designed, proofed, printed, even reprinted. Each book is purchased or shoplifted, partially read or not read at all, regifted, torn apart for an art project, ignored in a corner for ages, chewed by the dog, passed on to another reader, thrift stored or eBayed or donated, treasured in the family archives, burned at the stake. Each book in the shop is my little orphan, awaiting adoption, nose pressed to the show window, hoping for a kindly reader to take it home, where awaits an easy chair, a bookcase, a coffee table, a bit of reading light, nurturing, understanding, tolerance, respect. Nearby, out of reverence for readers of the past, rests pipe rack, ashtray, wooden matches, and the old familiar fragrance of tobacco's past, and pulp papers survived, and just out of camera range, the next reader, rubbing hands together gleefully in anticipation of the joys and sorrows and provocative ideas hiding between covers that shield the pages till just the right moment.